Time for Michigan's newest sports talk show, Mitt Madness.
And here he goes. Defense win championship.
Michigan sports talk from here in Battle Creek. The latest stories, the biggest games, all across the Mitten State.
That's not something to play with.
Streaming live and on demand on the 95.3 WBCK app. Your host, Dejon Hughes.
Welcome back into Mitten Madness. Good morning on this Saturday morning. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes. I'm excited to get into another hour's worth of what's happening around the state of Michigan in the sports realm. Of course, we have tons to talk about when it comes to our Detroit Tigers. Not only are they in the thick of the second half of the season and they're starting to put some things together, the trade deadline is right around the corner. Are they going to make moves? The question is still up in the air, and maybe we have some answers to that question, and maybe we don't. And of course, football is right around the corner, literally around the corner. Before we know it, we'll be talking football, and there's a Big Ten preview out where we'll be able to get in a little bit deeper on Michigan, Michigan State, and all the happenings that are happening within the Big Ten. And then we'll touch in on the WNBA trade deadline, the playoff picture, and other news happening within the league before we get into our picks to end things out. I am doing great. Made it through yet another week, and you have too. So congratulations. Continue to grind. Continue to do the things that makes you happy. I see you, and it's all worth it. And if it hasn't been worth it yet, it will be worth it. That's just a little bit of motivation and a little bit of appreciation for you all. Continue to be the people that you are because it allows me to be the person that I am. Lacrosse is back in the Midwest this weekend for professional ranks anyway. The PLL is going to be down in Columbus, Ohio. I have not made the decision on whether I'm going to go or not. For one, I don't like Ohio. For two, I don't like Columbus. For three, that's where Ohio State is. For four, they're playing on Ohio State's lacrosse field. And five, I really just don't know if I want to pay the hotel price. I couldn't go Friday night, so it would only be one night that I would be paying for, which does make it a little bit better. But I'm not sure if I'm going to cough up the money and the four-hour drive from Kalamazoo over to Columbus. Feeling a little tight for me, so I'm not 100% sure if I'm going to get around to that, but I'll definitely be watching those games. I did, like I said, had to do the Rick Ross concert last night, so that was a lot of fun as well. So I was excited to get out to Warner Vineyards and enjoy a show out there. But yeah, I'll be tuned into those and whatever other sports action we get this weekend. Of course, the Tigers, WNBA, and everything else. So hopefully your weekend is going to be as fun as mine is. But kicking yours off, you know where we're starting with our Detroit Tigers. And we'll start where we always start when we talk about our Tigers, the standings. The AL Central, they are still sitting in that second from bottom spot. They're now only 3.5 games behind the Twins. The Tigers are 51-58, 6.5 games behind the White Sox. The White Sox, 57-51, lead the division. 2 games behind them are the Guardians, 56-54. Twins, 3 games behind at 55-55. Then our Tigers and the Royals sit at the bottom, 46-64, 12 games behind the division-leading Chicago White Sox. When we look at the American League overall, Tigers are 5th from the bottom. Blue Jays, Royals, Athletics, and Angels all sit below the Tigers. 14.5, 19, 19.5, and 22.5 games respectively. All trailing the leader. Those are the games that they are behind. The leader, Tampa Bay Rays, who are 64-44. The Tigers are 13.5 games behind them. In second place, the Yankees, 3.5 games back, 61-48. White Sox and the Boston Red Sox, both sitting 7 games back at 57-51. And then the Guardians at 56-54. Rangers basically knotted up with them at 55-54, 9.5 games back. It seems like the MLB is so tight. A lot of teams in that 50-ish range as far as wins and losses. So things could get very spicy here soon. Looking at the entire MLB overall, the Tigers are 8th from the bottom. The Blue Jays, Giants, Mets, Royals, Athletics, Angels, and Rockies all below them. Rockies and Angels tied for worst records in the entire MLB at 42-67, both 27 games behind the entire MLB leading Los Angeles Dodgers, who are 69-40. The Brewers 67-41, a game and a half back. Then those Rays, 4.5 games back. Atlanta Braves, 5 games back, 64-45, and 7 games back. Rounding out the top five are the Cubs at 62-47. Looking at the wild card and where the Tigers land there, they're 4.5 games back from the Guardians, who are at the bottom and taking the last wild card spot. The Yankees lead all wild card standings, 5.5 games above the Guardians. And then the Red Sox are 2 games above the Guardians. And those two have the spots above the Guardians, and Guardians round that out. Twins and Astros both 1 game back at 55-55. Orioles 2.5 games back. Mariners 3 games back. And then the Tigers 4.5 games back. So definitely some work that the Tigers have to do if they want to work their way into the playoffs. But it definitely is still possible. They could either win the division or the wild card. Both of those are options. But they do have to hop on the high horse and get some more wins here pretty quickly. But before we do any more deliberation and talk into what's happening on the literal field in the games, we got to hit the leaders like always. Batting average, Kevin McGonigal at .285. His on-base percentage, a .388. And the slugging percentage sits at a .418. Dylan Dingler still leads the team in home runs and RBIs. He's got 22 home runs, and he's batted in 68 runs, all on a .268 average. Look at the pitching side of things. The ERA, Keiter Montero, 3.34, 7 wins, 79 strikeouts. He also leads the team in wins and taking his rightful crown back, leading the team in strikeouts once more. Tarek Skubal, 116. He's got 7 wins to tie Keiter Montero, and he has a 2.79 ERA. So Skubal's kind of sliding right back in, being one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, like we expected. The team has 473 runs, tied for 18th. The batting average of .238 is 22nd. On-base percentage of .314 is 19th. And their slugging percentage of .403 is 14th. So a little bit better than what we've seen the last couple of weeks. So the bats really starting to help out here and really putting some things in motion for the Tigers, which will only help the great pitching that they have gotten so far this year. Speaking of that great pitching, ERA 3.63, 5th. Their quality starts of 42 is 7th. Their whip 1.21 is 6th. And their opponent batting average of .232 is 7th. Once again, still sitting top 7th in the entire MLB in all of the major pitching statistical categories. This is huge and a big part of the reason why they still have a chance at getting to the playoffs and still have a chance of winning a World Series, is because you got to be able to have good pitchers on the mound. And you have to be able to bat behind them. And that would be the one thing that would keep them out of the playoffs or keep them away from winning a World Series, is their bats do not help the pitchers anywhere near enough. Looking quickly at the schedule and what we've seen since we last talked to you, they were going into the second half of the 4-game series with the Royals where things were looking great. They won game 1, 4-3, won game 2, 2-1. And then all of a sudden, things flipped on their head. They lose game 3 of the series, 3-2. They lose game 4 of the series, 5-4. So they split the series with the Kansas City Royals. Not what you needed to do. Needed to have a 3-1 at worst there. A sweep would have been phenomenal if you're looking at trying to get back into the playoffs. Even the wild card. You're 4.5 games back of the Guardians. You have to win these inner division series, and you have to win interleague series. So far, not off to the best start in doing that in the second half of this MLB season. The Baltimore Orioles then came into town. Tigers lose game 1, 8-5, and then all of a sudden had an offensive explosion in game 2, where they win 14-0, and then they go back out game 3. A great offensive game from both teams, respectively. I mean, this was one of the best games we've seen the Tigers have offensively. Could have had some better help in the field. Pitching also could have been just a little bit better. But, I mean, Tigers lose this one 10-9 in 12 innings. I mean, it went on for what seemed like forever in this new day and age with the pitching clock, but they just didn't get it done. So that's a pretty big deal there. But at the end of the day, they basically just lost two series in a row. Well, they split the series with the Royals, then lost 2-1 to Baltimore. So they have to, you know, make up for that. Maybe a sweep coming up here soon would be good for them. The A's, a great opportunity. That's the weekend series they have going on this weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then Seattle, the Mariners, is Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday on the road. They're on the road for this A's series. And then they're going to be on the road to take on Seattle. That's 9:40 on both Tuesday and Wednesday, August 4th and 5th, and 4:10 p.m. on August 6th. On Tuesday, Melton will pitch against Castillo. Schoolboy will pitch against Hancock on Wednesday, and Mize against Wu on a Thursday before they take on the San Francisco Giants. Also, another road series, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 10:15 on the 7th, 7:15 on the 8th, 4:05 on the 9th. Valdez versus Maul on the 7th, Montero versus Roop on the 8th, and Melton versus Webb on the 9th. So back to a 5-6 man rotation for the Tigers on the pitching side of things, which has been huge and will really help them out before they head into a series with the Cleveland Guardians and then a series with the Chicago White Sox back-to-back, which will be huge series for them. They got to go out and win. They still don't know who's pitching Friday last night, as you guys hear this. But then they have Valdez and Montero going against Perkins and Jump, respectively, on the 1st and 2nd, Saturday and Sunday, for the A's series. Real quick, before we run out of time here, the trade deadline is a big deal. They're saying the Tigers might trade Tarik Skubal to the Atlanta Braves, which I think would be pretty risky. The Dodgers also trying to get in on the mix, but they say that, you know, they don't really need Tarik Skubal over with the Dodgers. So the Braves trying to make a push to get into a favorable position to win the World Series. But I'll be really interested to see if Skubal is moved and where he lands. They also say the Tigers might trade Gleyber Torres to the Red Sox, which I really don't like that idea because Torres is a huge boost to the offensive lineup. But we'll keep you updated on if we hear any moves. But that's all we got for now. When we come back from the break, we'll be talking Big Ten football here on Mid-Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
As an organ donor, your story doesn't have to end. The good in you can live on. In fact, you could save up to 8 lives with your gifts. Your heart could keep beating, your kidneys could keep filtering, and your intestines could keep on digesting for others. And that's not all. You can improve the lives of 50 more people as an eye and tissue donor, restoring sight and health. And you're not just helping out the person receiving the transplant. You're touching whole families with your life-saving gift. Register in minutes. Just go to organdonor.gov. You'll be happy you did. And just maybe, someone else will be happy too. Sign up today. Go to organdonor.gov. It saves lives. U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
Well, Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
1 in 4 people have a disability. I'm one of them. I'm also an actor and advocate for disability inclusion across all aspects of life. The disability community is passionate, strong, powerful. We have so much to offer and deserve to be included in society. We've got a trusted ally by our side. Easter Seals is delivering services, advocacy, and local supports that elevates the communities for everyone. That's my Easter Seals. Make it yours. EasterSeals.com.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and now it's time to get into a little bit of a college football preview for the Big Ten. Before we dive a little bit deeper into Michigan, Michigan State, we're going to look at the Big Ten overall. Kind of looks like they're expecting Ohio State, Oregon, Indiana, USC, Michigan, Penn State, Washington, Iowa, Illinois, Nebraska, Minnesota, UCLA, Northwestern, Maryland, Rutgers, Wisconsin, Michigan State, Purdue to be the order of the Big Ten standings at the end of the season. But they have given us the five best games that they believe will be in 2026, starting October 10th at USC at Penn State. Maybe the first huge conference game of the season is an elimination game of sorts. Penn State could announce itself as a dark horse with a win here, and USC, coming off home games against Oregon and Washington, will either be trying to stay in the title race or simply stay afloat, which rolls us right into October 17th, Ohio State at Indiana. For a conference desperately trying to ditch conference title games, the Big Ten sure had a great one last season, and this would just be the rematch. Indiana at Michigan, Kurt Cignetti's champs survived midseason trips to Iowa and Penn State last season. We'll face another tricky one here against Kyle Whittingham and his potentially chest-puffing chip-on-their-shoulder Wolverines. That's October 24th. Then November 7th, Oregon at Ohio State. Only two Big Ten teams have winning records against Ohio State in this decade. Michigan, who's 4-1, go blue, and Oregon, who's 2-1. The Buckeyes, who lost their last home game to each, will host both of them within the last 4 weeks of the regular season. November 21st, Indiana at Washington. Washington is a bit of a mystery this season, but amid all the customarily huge late-season Big Ten games, this one could be sneaky big. Obviously, the game is up there with all kinds, but it's not a big deal here. Looking at the top 10 transfers for the Big Ten, they're looking at quarterback Josh Hoover for Indiana, quarterback Colton Joseph for Wisconsin, running back Wayne Knight for UCLA, Coy Parrish, safety for Oregon, and then defensive end John Henry Daly for Michigan, an early 2025 breakout star at Utah. Daly made at least 2 tackles for loss in 5 games last season and racked up 3.5 in his final game before rupturing his Achilles and sitting out the final 2 games of the season. His recovery has been shockingly quick, and he's expected to be a full participant in fall camp, but we'll see how long it takes him to get back his top-end explosiveness. Safety Marcus Neal Jr. for Penn State, running back Lyndon Phillips Jr. for Iowa, safety Terry Moore for Ohio State, defensive end Shahir West for UCLA, and NB Mr. Clark for Purdue. Mr. Clark for Purdue, and then conference title and therefore college football playoff contenders based in the Big Ten. Ohio State with Ryan Day as their head coach. First in the SP Plus, 10.2 average wins with 7.5 of them coming in the Big Ten. The Oregon Ducks, Dan Lanning, second in the SP Plus, 10.2 average wins, 7.3 in the Big Ten. Indiana, Kurt Cignetti, fifth in the SP Plus, 9.9 average wins, 7 in the Big Ten. A couple of breakaways from a run. The USC Trojans with Lincoln Riley, they're 13th in the SP Plus, 7.8 wins, 5 in the Big Ten. Obviously, the one we really came here for, Michigan Wolverines with Kyle Whittingham, his first year at the helm of the Wolverines, 14th in the SP Plus, 7.5 average wins, 5 in the Big Ten. Whittingham has taken a surprising detour late in his career and more than 40 years since he began his coaching career as a BYU graduate assistant. He has coached for schools based in Utah and Idaho. That's it. He spent the past two decades as Utah's head coach, overseeing the Utes jump to a power conference, first the Pac-12, then the Big 12, and leading them to two AP top 10 finishes and eight seasons with double-digit wins. His defenses were frequently elite, and his offenses were usually very efficient, if not at all explosive. And last December, he went from looking as if he were going to retire to landing one of the biggest jobs in the sport. Winningham's bona fides are top-notch, but I do have two big questions, they say. Can the hard-nosed overachiever coach properly connect with and motivate a roster of blue chippers? Going from managing a roster of chip-on-their-shoulder underdogs, relatively speaking, to leading high-caliber recruits with higher expectations has tripped up plenty of coaches throughout the years, and that's without getting into the fact that Whittingham is 66 years old. Between Patterson and Whittingham, it's a big year for 66-year-olds. That's a good one. Number two, how will the Jason Beck-Bryce Underwood partnership work? Beck is one of the more delightful offensive coordinators in the country, and turned Devin Dampier, with dynamite running capabilities and a decent but limited arm, into the quarterback of a top 10 offense. Utah was sixth in the offensive SP Plus last season, but Beck will now call plays for Underwood, the number one prospect in the 2025 recruiting class. Underwood flashed moments of excellence with his arm as a true freshman, and not including sacks, he rushed 68 times for 506 yards, but Dampier rushed twice as much. Will Underwood run more? Will Beck seek similar efficiency with a more customary run game? Those are the most pressing issues, but the question obviously doesn't stop there. New defensive coordinator Jay Hill, another successful and Utah-centric coach, now working with far more blue chippers than ever. They need to find the right chemistry among key returnees, such as tackle Trey Pierce, linebacker Troy Bowles, and corners Jair Hill and Zeke Berry, and an important batch of seven transfers include three from Utah, star end John Henry Daly, tackle Jonah Lee, and do everything nickel Smith Snowden, safety Chris Bracey from Memphis could play a huge role too. An offensive line full of carryovers from last season's young unit will need to click under longtime Whittingham assistant Jim Harding. And, well, someone will need to catch Underwood's passes. Sophomore Andrew Marsh is a budding star, as is sophomore running back Jordan Marshall, but others will need to step up, be it slot man Channing Goodwin, tight end Zach Marshall, young transfers J.J. Buchanan from Utah, or Jamie French Jr. from Texas, or touted freshman Celesi Moa. There's obvious potential here, but immediate success is far from guaranteed. They had the Nittany Lions with Matt Campbell in his first year up here. The Washington Huskies with Jed Fish, his third year. He's up on there as well. Iowa Hawkeyes with Kirk Ferentz in his 28th year. Our list, the Illinois Fighting Illini, sixth. Nebraska Cornhuskers with Matt Rule, the fourth year. 37th in the SP+. Very curious here, but the new era of player movement will impact the Matt Rule culture building machine. At previous stops, the third year was when everything came together for Rule, but obviously that's not going to be the case. At Nebraska, he had an engineered solid improvement, with the Huskers improving from 5-7 to 7-6, from 66 to 47 to SP plus, but year three didn't see a breakthrough. Instead, the Cornhuskers basically replicated their 2024 numbers, 7-6 and 46. The offense took a lovely step forward despite losing star quarterback Dylan Raiola to injury, but the defense backslid after the departure of coordinator Tony White. Things obviously aren't going poorly. Two straight winning seasons after nine straight sub-500 seasons is by definition solid, but ruling the Huskers into year four with a strange sense of stagnation. Coordinator Dana Holgorsen has made the offense fun, and Rule just replaced Raiola with the flawed but incredibly enjoyable transfer, UNLV's Anthony Colleandra. But Rob Artick will be Nebraska's fourth defensive coordinator in five seasons, and Rule will be awfully reliant on transfers for a defensive turnaround. Culture building isn't what it used to be, and we'll see if Rule can guide Nebraska higher up the ladder. Colleandra really is fun. He has pretty scramble-heavy tendencies, but he doesn't take nearly as many sacks as Raiola, and he was a far better big play seeker last season, albeit in a conference with worse defenses than the Big Ten. His nine career multi-interception games suggest he can trust his own abilities too much at times, but he'll have fun with receivers. And Isaiah Hunter and Ja'Cory Barney Jr. with a 1,400-yard rusher, Emmett Johnson off to the pros, a couple of sophomores, Makai Nelson and Isaiah Mosey, will need to take charge at running back but with three returning linemen and some exciting additions up front, guards Brendan Black from Iowa State and Paul Mubanga from LSU, and tackle Tre Bablade from South Carolina, the line should pave the way nicely. Fresh from engineering a massive defensive course correction at San Diego State, Arik takes over defense in which a number of newcomers will be asked to come up with big, and many of the last year's best players were young sophomores such as Enz Williams, Nwarney, and Cade Pierczak. Corner Donovan Jones and safety Rex Guthrie could enjoy breakout seasons, but probably not without help from linebackers Owen Chambliss and Dexter Foster, corner Victor Evans III, and safety Dwayne McDougal. This is clearly going to be a solid team, but unless Coleandra has another gear or Arik is an absolute magician, a ranking in the 30s felt about right. And you know where else we're going to stop? The most important place other than Ann Arbor. We're stopping in East Lansing. Michigan State Spartans with Pat Fitzgerald in their first year, 67th in the SP+, 4.4 average wins, 2.7 in the Big Ten. We should probably get the obvious part out of the way right up top. I really, really didn't like Michigan State hiring Pat Fitzgerald. That's not me. This is ESPN, by the way. Simply put, if Michigan State had employed Fitzgerald from 2019 to 2022, the school would have fired him. Jonathan Smith was just fired from going 4-15 in part of two seasons. And instead of embarking on a thorough replacement search, the school replaced him the very next day with a guy who went 4-20 in the past 2 years. Fitzgerald is still pretty young and no one simply forgets how to coach, but with so little recent success and with so much recent change in the sport, I assumed he would need to prove himself at the G5 level before being handed the keys to a big-time program again. State is taking a massive risk. I wrote that about 6 months ago, but I don't feel any different now. But as I mentioned in the coaching changes piece, we're working a lot and pretty much will hire it no matter how risky can succeed. If the Spartans enjoy a winning season only the second time in the 2020s, this will be why. A good run game, an opportunistic secondary, and that's really all they've got. Depth is going to be a major issue for the Spartans, which is perhaps one what one would expect after years of losses and turnover. Sophomore quarterback Alessio Milivojevic will probably start by default unless four-star freshman Cade Kaufman develops quickly. So we'll see what they have. But that's the Big Ten preview. We'll touch back as soon as we can about more football. When we get back from the break, we'll be talking WNBA here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Extra. Mike Rowe on the skills gap and how a student organization known as Skills USA is trying to fill it.
So the thing about Skills USA that's so cool, and the reason that my foundation has supported it for years, is that it's deliberately and intentionally focused on celebrating a skill. 3 million jobs right now exist in the trades and transportation and commerce. The skills gap is real. Training kids and getting them excited to do the jobs that exist ought to be job one. Skills USA does that in a big way. It's about excellence and competition and being good at what you do, and eventually through all of that, learning who you are. Skills USA is working.
Learn more at microworks.com and skillsusa.org.
Yeah, you, it's me, your heart. Listen to me. We've got to talk. High blood pressure is serious, and yours? Whoa, what happened to us? We used to be so much more active. But lately, you've been ignoring me. I know you think I'm just going to keep ticking away forever, but you're wrong. You can do so much more to control your high blood pressure. Doing the minimum isn't doing enough. I'm under a lot of pressure and can quit whenever I want. Bet you didn't know that. But I like my job. Just treat me better. Check on me. Give me something green to nibble on every once in a while. And maybe we can do some exercise on occasion. Let's get to it. After all, we're in this together.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and we're going to talk about the WNBA here for a little minute. Their trade deadline is coming up, which also means their playoff picture is starting to form. So we'll dive into both of those things. First, with the trade deadline and some players that we need to watch ahead of the August 2nd trade deadline, which is on Sunday. So some movements could happen over today, tomorrow, and maybe not at all. But we will get into one move that was made yesterday as you're listening to this Friday as I'm recording. But first, Kelsey Plum is one of the five players. Why she might be on the move: she was traded to the Sparks in a three-team deal in February 2025. After winning two titles with the Las Vegas Aces in 22 and 23, she averaged 19.5 points, 5.7 assists last year for the Sparks, who missed the playoffs this season. She was off to a great start, averaging 23.9 points, 6.4 assists through 12 games. But she has not played since June 21st because of a lower left leg injury. The Sparks are 10-17 and can miss the playoffs for a sixth year in a row. They parted with general manager Reagan Pebley on July 12th and might be looking more toward the future than the rest of the season. Plum is one of the league's elite scorers and looked in great shape before the injury. Depending on how soon she returns, she could help a team through the stretch run of the regular season and the playoffs. She turns 32 in late August and is currently on a one-year deal for just under $1 million. A team trading for her would want to be sure of two things: her health and her interest in signing a multi-year deal after the season. Where could she fit at this point? It's clear Plum is ready to leave Los Angeles, but unclear who is willing to make the deal to get her. Plum could help the Golden State Valkyries, who have the WNBA's best defense, but could use a little more offensive firepower. She is also used to working with Valkyries coach Natalie Nakasi, as both previously were with the Aces. Golden State likely would have to part with some of its talented depth, but there are few players of Plum's ability, so trading for her with the right conditions met could be a big power move. Valkyries are 19-8 and look poised for a playoff run. The Washington Mystics, the youngest team in the WNBA, are 15-12 and in a playoff position. Unlike Golden State, the Mystics might not be championship contenders just yet, but Plum could get them closer. In a trade, Washington potentially could provide good capital in the next two drafts. However, both these teams might be satisfied with the core they have now and unwilling to make a big swing for Plum. The Valkyries, Mystics, and any other team that could benefit from adding Plum might decide it would rather wait to see whether she would be interested in them in 2027 free agency. Next up is Anissa Morrow. Why she might be on the move? Well, Morrow, the seventh pick in the 2025 draft, was a constant double-double threat in college, first at DePaul and then LSU. In the WNBA, she has been a strong rebounder. Has been a stronger rebounder than a scorer, and she has potential to be an important contributor in both. Last season, Morrow started 21 of 41 games, averaging 7.7 points and 6.9 rebounds. This season, she has started 8 of 19 games and is averaging 11.1 points and 9 rebounds. She has improved her field goal percentage from 37.5% in 25 to 40.7% this season. Her current 28.1% from three-point range still needs a little bit of a boost, but 6.1 Morrow is just 23 and still has upside that can be unlocked. That could be with the Sun as they close out this chapter of the franchise in Connecticut before moving to Houston next season, or it could be elsewhere. They're looking at maybe the Toronto Tempo, who have dealt with injuries and inconsistent production in the post and could potentially use a player such as Morrow, who has two more seasons on her rookie contract. The Tempo ranked 13th in rebounding. Their top rebounder is 32-year-old Isabel Harrison, who has played 16 games and is averaging 6.4 rebounds. The Phoenix Mercury are another possibility for Morrow. The Mercury are 12th in rebounding. Their persistent consistency issues makes the playoff race iffy for them. They could look at Morrow as an aid in that pursuit, or Morrow as one of the building blocks of the team they hope to be in the future. Questions about Morrow's health are also a factor. She has missed 9 games this season, and whether interested teams believe she will be fully healthy for the rest of the season could be a key factor in potential trades. It's also worth noting that Morrow's son, teammate 24-year-old Aaliyah Edwards, could also be sought after by teams looking for young post-depth. Edwards, the number 6 pick in the 24 draft, has played 20 games this season, is averaging 9.4 points and 3.8 assists. But Nyjah Laney Hamilton could be traded from the New York Liberty. Maddie Segrus could be traded from the Dallas Wings. And Skylar Diggins could be leaving the Chicago Sky. Let's put it this way: whether the Sky are even trying to move Diggins is uncertain, but it seems as if she is unhappy with her role in Chicago and the direction of the team. The Sky are 9-18 and appear headed to their third consecutive year out of the playoffs. Diggins, in her first season in Chicago, is on a protected veteran contract of $940,000 for this year and next. She has been out with a knee injury since July 3rd when she had 19 points in an overtime loss to Las Vegas. For the season, she is averaging 14.2 points, 4.9 assists, 3.2 rebounds. Diggins is coming off two good seasons in Seattle, where she averaged 15.1 points, 6.4 rebounds, or 6.4 assists, excuse me, in 24 and 15 and a half and 6 in 25. Diggins, the number three pick in 2013, has averaged double figures in scoring every year of her career, except her rookie season. For her career, she's averaged 16.3 points and 5.3 assists, and that's very good and consistent production. But she will turn 36 on Sunday, the day of the trade deadline, and the question of whether another team wants to take on her contract at this point in her career is legitimate. Can Diggins be content with a team that isn't going anywhere this season? And does a team that is in the playoff hunt want to bring her aboard? So it's going to be interesting to find out where she goes. But y'all remember how I was talking about Anissa Morrow and being traded from the Connecticut Sun and possibly to a team up north, the Toronto Tempo? Well, that's exactly where she is headed, as they are trading her to the Toronto Tempo for the rights to Maria Masha Kundakova and a 2028 second round pick back to Connecticut. The team announced Friday. Morrow, 6'1" forward, fills the need for a young big that the expansion franchise Tempo has been looking for. The former LSU standout compiled 9 double-doubles and 20 appearances with the Sun this year. As we already talked about, her averages mostly coming off the bench in her 23.2 minutes per game. They say they're thrilled to welcome Anissa to their organization. She's a relentless competitor who impacts the game in so many ways, particularly with her ability to rebound at a high level. We believe she's one of the emerging front court talents in the league, and we're excited to see her play in a Tempo uniform. We are incredibly grateful for the time Anissa spent with the Connecticut Sun and for the professionalism, commitment, and buy-in she showed from the moment we drafted her. She embraced our vision, was a tremendous ambassador for our franchise both on and off the court, and built meaningful relationships with our fans, her teammates, and staff. We wish Anissa nothing but continued success in the next chapter of her career. She's under contract through 2027, after which she has a team option for 28 and will become a restricted free agent in 29. Maria Kundakova, a 6'4" Russian forward, has played three seasons of WNBA. She's mostly suited up for the Minnesota Lynx. Last year, she averaged 4.4 points, 3 rebounds, and 11 minutes off the bench, and prior played for the Los Angeles Sparks in 18 and 19. Toronto selected her in the expansion draft, but ultimately did not come over to the WNBA this season. It's too early to know whether she will come back after she just turned 28, but the hope is for the Sun, who are relocating to Houston after this season. So that's an interesting move, as they called it out and got it right. Anissa Morrow does go to the Tempo, but it's pretty much just a salary dump for the Suns, Connecticut Sun, excuse me, is what it sounds like. Now it's time to talk about these standings in the WNBA and what the playoff picture is starting to look like. So the Minnesota Lynx are sitting atop of the entire WNBA at 24-6. Right behind them are the Aces at 20-8. Then the Valkyrie at 19-9. The Wings at 18-10. Indiana Fever tied with them at 18-10. Atlanta Dream 17-10. The Mystics 15-12. And the New York Liberty at 16-13, rounding out the top eight. The Liberty did win the Commissioner's Cup, so you can keep that in mind. When you split it into conferences, the Indiana Fever are top of the Eastern Conference at 18-10. Obviously, right behind them are the Dream, then the Mystics, and then the Liberty. Both the Tempo and Sky are 10-18. The Sun are 7-22. A little over in the West, as we know, the Lynx, Aces, Valkyries, and Wings, and then Portland is 11-17, Phoenix 11-18, the Sparks 10-17, and the Seattle Storm 6-24. So, that top eight that I read off earlier, the Lynx to the Liberty, they're in the playoffs at the moment. So we'll catch you up next time, but we're about to get into our picks here on Mid Madness on 95.3 The Ticket.
Dear John, I was hoping it wouldn't come to this, but you've left me no choice. I'm leaving. Uncontrolled high blood pressure is really serious, and lately you seem to really not care. I've been there for you since day one, and I know you think I'm going to keep ticking. But no, my friend, I can quit whenever I want. Why can't we get back to the good times? When we were more active and ate more healthy foods, and you checked on me every once in a while. Is that too much to ask? I don't want to leave, but unless you stop ignoring me, what else am I supposed to do? Remember, when I quit, you quit. Sincerely, your heart.
Listen to your heart. Don't let it quit on you. Doing the minimum to control your high blood pressure isn't doing enough. High blood pressure can lead to a stroke, heart attack, or death. Get your blood pressure to a healthy range before it's too late. Find out how at heart.org/bloodpressure. Check, change, control. A message from the American Heart Association, the American Stroke Association, and the Ad Council.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year? 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism.
Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs.
Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back into Mid Madness here on 95.3 The Ticket. I'm your host, Dejon Hughes, and it's time to get into my favorite part of the show, my picks, which, you know, it's always more fun when somebody else is playing along. Yes, I'm talking about all of you out there. You have an opportunity to play along with the picks every single week and see if you know ball as well as I know ball, or maybe I just know ball better than everybody, or maybe I don't know ball at all and I just be talking out of the side of my neck and you're able to come in and stomp me out and talk crazy. I just want some competition. Either way, the picks are a lot of fun every single week. Six games, contests, matches, whatever the case may be. And I go through, do my deliberation, my research, and babble on and on about why I know everything I'm talking about and by what I'm saying is going to be right and why I'm going to pick all of the correct winners. And then you can do the same thing yourself. Write down all of those games. Go back and do your own research and deliberate and talk through to yourself or to anybody else to make sure you don't sound crazy. And then submit those picks into the 95.3 The Ticket app for your chance to be better than me. And of course, if you turn out to be better than me, we have to give you something special. So we'll be looking out for it. Submit those picks into the 95.3 The Ticket app every single week. If you beat me season long, then we got something special for you. We are going to be starting a new season of picks here soon, coming up when we get into football season. So that might be a great time to start if you are already kind of starting this season a little bit late. But nonetheless, last week was a much better week for me than the week before. Exact flip-flop, actually. I went 2-4 the week before. Last week, I went 4-2. Aces took down the Fires. Liberty took down the Sparks. Wings just couldn't get it done against the Dream. Lost by 1. The Aces did take down the Liberty. Ankalaev got the best of Guskov inside of the octagon. And then the Tigers ended up losing the series against the Orioles 2-1. So that's a little bit of a disappointment there. But those are the two losses, the Wings and the Tigers. Everybody else got me big dubs. So 4-2, improving my record to 77-67-1 in this season. We're really hoping that we can keep that rolling, and I have a great opportunity to do so this week. We got 5 WNBA games, and then we're going to get into one more Tigers series for the weekend. So let's get things popping. We'll start on the hardwood, and things will get started on, yes, you guessed it, on Sunday, because there's nothing good going on Saturday. So we got to go all the way to Sunday before we want to have something worth watching. We got the Indiana Fever taking on the Minnesota Lynx at 1 p.m. on ABC. The 18-10 Fever, 7-5 on the road, top of the Eastern Conference, taking on the 24-6, 11-4 at home Lynx from Minnesota, who are atop of the Western Conference. First of three games between these teams in the regular season. So they're going to battle three more times between now and the middle of September. So be on the lookout for three big-time games. Caitlin Clark, a game-time decision, along with Aaliyah Boston. I would imagine both of them are going to play for this very high-profile game. 44.5% chance for the Fever, 55.5% chance for the Minnesota Lynx. It will be at the Target Center in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Lynx are currently on a 9-game win streak. They have two wins over Toronto, two wins over Seattle, and a win over Portland in their last five. Meanwhile, the Fever, they're coming in on a 4-game win streak of their own. They have two wins over Seattle, a win over the Sun, a win over the Liberty, but a loss to the Valkyrie in their last five. I mean, you'd be crazy to think I'm going against Olivia Miles, Natasha Howard, Kayla McBride. Oh, yeah, they got Nafisa Collier back now. Yeah, line it up. There's a reason the Lynx are 24-6. There's a reason they're 11-4 at home. There's a reason they're not only number one in the West, but number one in the entire WNBA. I'm taking the Minnesota Lynx over the Indiana Fever. Moving on to the next WNBA game. The Los Angeles Sparks taking on the Portland Fire. The Sparks are 10-17, 5-8 on the road. Meanwhile, the Portland Fire 11-17, 6-7 at home. This game will be on NBC and Peacock, 3:30 p.m. on tomorrow. 63.8% chance for the Sparks. That's 36.2% chance for the Portland Fire. Nneka Ogumike leading the Sparks into town against Katie Leahy. The Sparks did win the first game 89-72 back on June 7th. No major injuries on either side. The Fire are coming in 1-4 in their last five. They went over the Mystics, losses to the Sun, Lynx, Wings, and Aces. Meanwhile, the Sparks are coming in 0-5. They're currently on a 6-game losing streak. Portland on a 3-game losing streak. The Sparks have lost to the Lynx, the Sky, the Wings, the Mercury, and the Liberty. But, I mean, they're only a half game behind Portland, so this is a good chance for them to wiggle in there and kind of make some room and move up, and maybe they don't want to. Who knows what's going to happen in this one? This one going down in the Moda Center in Portland, Oregon. But I am leaning the side of the Sparks because what I don't see on the injury report is Kelsey Plum. And if Kelsey Plum and Nneka Ogumike are going to play in this game, I don't think the Portland Fire stand a chance. I am going to take the Sparks to win this game, which gets us over to the Tempo and the Valkyrie. Toronto Tempo, 10-18, 4-7 on the road, taking on the Golden State Valkyries, who are 19-9, 11-4 at home, 22.7%. For Marina Mabry and company as they get Anissa Morrow now on this team. Golden State Valkyries with Gabby Williams, Kayla Thornton, Veronica Burton and company has a 77.3% chance. They did win the first time around, 83-75 over the Tempo back on July 8th. Toronto's on a 5-game losing streak. Golden State's on a 2-game losing streak. This one is a very interesting game, but the only reason this one even leaning the way I'm going is because the Valkyries are absolutely phenomenal at home. 11-4 at home. They've played 15 of their games at home, and they've won a very large portion of them. A large portion of their wins are at home. In fact, only four of their losses are at home, which means they have five losses on the road. And they're 8-5 on the road while they're 11-4 at home. Yeah, give me the Valkyries at home in the Chase Center every single time, which moves us over to the Aces and the Dream. This game going down on Monday, 7 p.m. on Peacock, NBC, and plenty of other places. 45% for the Aces, 55% for the Dream. 20-8 Aces, 11-3 on the road. The Dream, 17-10, 9-4 at home. Aces did win the first time around, 85-84, back on May 17th. No major injuries on either side. Dream coming in on a 4-game win streak. Aces coming in on a 2-game win streak. Aces trying to keep pace with the Lynx, but the Dream trying to win the Eastern Conference and only being 1 game behind ain't bad at
Oh.
And I think they got a solid chance if they're able to win this game. I'm taking the Dream to win this one, as this is down at State Farm Arena in Atlanta, Georgia. And they know that if they win this game, they're crawling ever so closer. And they got the momentum of a four-game win streak behind their back. I got the Dream. And I feel strong about the Dream there as well, which gets us over into our last WNBA game of the weekend. It's the Dallas Wings, 18-10, 10-5 on the road, taking on the Washington Mystics, who are 15-12, 7-6 at home. Both these teams currently in the thick of the playoff push. 56.5% chance for the Wings, a 43.5% chance for the Washington Mystics. This game will be at the CareFirst Arena in Washington, D.C. Dallas won the first matchup back on May 18th, 92-69. Wasn't even a contest the first time around when they played. Dallas is currently fourth in the Western Conference, trying to keep pace with Golden State. They're only a game behind them, but they're currently on a one-game losing streak, and Golden State's on a two-game. So they're hoping that they continue to lose and they can start to win. Meanwhile, Washington kind of firmly in the playoffs out east. I mean, Toronto and Chicago would need to do serious work to catch Washington, and they would have to lose quite a few games in a row. And technically, Washington is holding a tiebreaker over the New York Liberty. So they're sitting in third place on a three-game win streak. So this one is an interesting game to pick because of how many different layers it has and who could come out on top. But come on now, y'all should know by now, even though Sonya Citron, Kiki Irifin, Shakira Austin and company are with the Mystics, and I love me a lot of those players, they're not Paige Beckers. Paige Beckers is my dog. I rock with P. I rock with PB like crazy. She's one of my favorite players in the WNBA. I'm not going against her here either. Give me the Wings to win on August 5th at 7:30 p.m. over the Mystics, which gets us over into our last game, I guess, of the weekend. It's going to be the Tigers series against the Seattle Mariners, which opens up on August 4th at 9:40 p.m. Troy Melton versus Luis Castillo, 54.7% chance for the Tigers, 45.3% chance for the Mariners. All these games at T-Mobile Park in Seattle, Washington. Game 5, going to be Tarek Skubal versus Emerson Hancock, 58.5% chance for the Tigers, 41.5% chance for the Mariners. The Tigers are 51-58, 21-31 on the road. Meanwhile, the Mariners 53-57, 30-23 at home. Very spicy series. The Tigers lead it currently 2-1. They won 7-3 in game one on June 5th. Then the Mariners won 4-0 on June 6th. And the Tigers won 5-4 on June 7th. And then game six, which is on August 6th, 4:10 p.m., Casey Mize versus Brian Wu, 50.6% chance for the Tigers, 49.4% chance for the Mariners in this game. Both teams shaky in their last five. The Mariners are 2-3. Tigers are 1-4. But you know where I'm going. I got to be honest, and I got to rock with the hometown team because they need my support more than ever. And also, I like when Melton, who's been playing great, is followed up by none other than Skubal, and then Mize, who's been holding his own. We can get two out of three in that combination. So I'm taking the Tigers to win this series against the Mariners, which gives me the Lynx, Sparks, Valkyries, Dream, Wings, and Tigers. Enjoy your Tigers coverage here on The Ticket, and we'll be back with more Mid Madness next week on 95.3 The Ticket.
Join Dejon Hughes every Saturday morning at 10 a.m. for Mitten Madness on 95.3 WBCK. Miss the show or want to run it back? Stream Mitten Madness on demand on the WBCK app, sponsored by AirwayCashForJunkCars.com.